Good morning, church. Hope we're all well. I love the energy in here. It's palpable. You know, the sort of the joy in the room. This is, of course, a celebratory service we're having. And so as people sort of take their seats and find seats, let's lean in. I'll do the reading. We're looking at Luke chapter 24. And after the reading, we'll get into the topic for today, and for those who take notes, it's Jesus, the destroyer of death. Jesus, the destroyer of death. So if you have your Bibles, open to Luke chapter 24, and we'll read together. Here we go. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hand of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their word seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, bending over, he saw the strips of linen by themselves. He went away, wondering to himself what had happened. I said before, Easter is my favorite Christian holiday. Why? Because I think, you know, it's not as buried under lots of capitalist, you know, messaging as Christmas sometimes is. And so Easter is about resurrection. It's about Jesus. It's about the cross. You cannot get away from these things. And that's what we'll discuss today. Now, of course, what we just read tells this glorious story of Jesus coming back from the dead with resurrection power. But to understand chapter 24, we of course have to consider chapter 23. To understand the significance of Jesus' resurrection, we have to take a look at the significance of his death. And picture it. Luke 23 from 44 to 49, Jesus is slain. Imagine the confusion, the despair, the anguish from the followers who up until now had walked with Jesus, seen him perform many miracles, believed that he would save them, and now he's dead. He's hung on a cross. He who was meant to redeem Israel, he who performed many miracles, he who had loyal followers, dead. You can imagine to them that it seemed like death had won. You can imagine their eyes, heavy, tears flowing down. You can imagine their spirits wounded when the reality started to set in that Jesus had died. Now, this idea of death looking like it's won is something we see through the Bible. Consider the first family. When Cain killed Abel, it certainly looked like death had won. Noah, of course, built an ark, escaped the flood, but still he died. And it looked like death had won. Isaiah was called the eagle-eyed prophet. He could see 700 years into the future. He could see through the corridors of time. And irrespective of how prolific he was, still Isaiah died. And it looked like death as one. Habakkuk was a prophet to Israel. Again, a prolific, a profound prophet. But no matter how close he was to God, still he died. And it looked again like death had won. We've seen scientists, astronauts, politicians, great people littered through our history. And no matter how bright they all were, still every single one of them died. And it certainly looked like death has won. Maybe we can bring this home and think about some people you know that you have relationships with, family, friends, people who have died. And in that moment, if I can confess, even in my life, it sometimes looks like death as one. I'm reminded of COVID when I had to watch a funeral of a friend over Zoom. And it certainly in that period looked as though death had won. But the Bible says that love is greater than death. And yet, like gladiators, every time they enter the ring, it looked like death had won. Jesus' death certainly looked this way. Take a look at Luke 23, verse 48. When people saw him slain, the Bible says they started to beat their chests. Gripped by anguish, it felt as though it was the end. But 2,000 years ago, love personified walked into the ring and told death, "You've been bullying people for far too long." He said, "I want to set the record straight. Love is greater than death." And so love rolled up his sleeves and they started fighting all the way through Jerusalem. The fight went all the way down to the grave. And death started to boast and said the same thing he had said all those times before. "I've won." Death, proud about this victory, probably started to have a party. Friday evening, one of those good parties that went all the way to Saturday. And throughout Saturday, death is celebrating because he said, "Look, I've done to you what I've done to everybody who's come before you." But early on Sunday morning, love rolled up his sleeves, grabbed death, and took the sting out of it. Took the victory out the grave. Love set the record straight and made it clear that love is greater than death. And so that victory that Jesus won when he defeated death, it changed everything. Jesus became the destroyer of death. What the enemy had meant for evil, God meant it for our good. This death, this resurrection, it changes things. And I want to call us out a tiny bit because it's very easy to accept the resurrection metaphorically. It's easy to say, "Oh, it makes sense." You know, you can kind of think of, But if we considered the reality that Jesus went down to the grave and he got back up, and all these other world systems, world religions, beliefs, all have strong men, they died, but they stayed dead. Jesus defeated the grave. And because he destroyed death, it has real life ramifications for his followers. One, because Jesus defeated death, death is no longer the end for the believer. For those who follow Jesus, death is actually the beginning of our lives. Because we believe we'll be raised with him in glory. So we may die, but we don't stay dead. We no longer fear death. It no longer has this finality in our lives. What does Romans 6:5 says? That's what it says. If we've been united with him in death, then we'll certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So for believers, we follow in the footprints of Jesus in that we will be resurrected. This is game-changing stuff. I mean, we were in a series looking at how Jesus has changed the world. This is one of the ways he does it. By believing him, we rise from the dead. Now, maybe that's in the future, and some of us have a hard time maybe picturing that. But here's the reality, too, of Jesus destroying death. Right now in your Christian life, available to you is resurrection power. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is accessible to us as believers. It means we are being made alive by this power. It means we are being set free from the bondage of sin by this power. It means we are being made new creatures in him by virtue of this resurrection power. But I found it's the case in my Christian life that sometimes I sort of wander into this general apathy where my Christian life isn't colorful and vivid and real. Instead, it's a bunch of traditions, bunch of holidays. And Easter, especially Sunday, is this opportunity for all of us to lean in and taste that resurrection power. In this season, we are to reflect on Jesus' unparalleled life. We are to reflect on Jesus' unparalleled death. But here's the good part. We are to reflect on his unparalleled resurrection. And as believers, we shouldn't be ashamed, even though it may be intellectually sort of defunct to say, that we believe that Jesus came back from the dead. And that changed everything for us. My prayer and my heart for us in this period is that as we behold and observe and look at the cross and we see Jesus' death and we see him come back alive, it awakens our spiritual lives. It's not just the holiday we observed, but it calls us to live this life where the Spirit's working and alive in us, where we feel the chains of sin falling off our lives, where we are made anew as we observe what he did. This is why I love Easter so much, because it's an invitation and you have to respond. You've got to respond. This event changed history. It has to change your life. It has to change our lives. And so, it's easy to allow layers and layers and layers of capitalist messaging to cover this sacred truth. But I hope in our private times and our families, we can slowly peel back the layers and really observe what it is that Jesus did. See him as the destroyer of death and start to explore all the various ways that changes our daily lives. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Today, collectively, there is a gratitude in our hearts for Jesus. God, you sent him down because of your love. He lived a life we just could not live. God, he died a death we should have died. And he resurrected with resurrection power. God, I pray that as we behold and hold fast to these truths, it would transform our lives. I pray that you would ignite all those gray, dark areas of our lives that somehow have escaped your resurrection power so far. I pray you'd make us anew. Let this holiday, let this period, period be a time where we are made alive again to follow you with vivid faith. Let this not be another holiday that we simply observed. Let the truth of Jesus' power totally transform our reality. We pray these things in Jesus' name, for your glory and for our joy. Amen.